There is nothing better in the heat of winter or spring, however you want to argue this, in this segment about just gambling being just in the thicket of season. It's a glorious time. It's just from autumn all the way until Memorial Day weekend. You're just in peak gambling season. It's an absolutely hysterical thing. And I cannot believe that there was actual gambling lines that existed for Punxsutawney Phil to see his shadow or not come last Friday.
It's so true. I want to say that I've seen that before on
I have
Punxsutawney
too.
Phil, that there are odds on
I
it.
have
But
too.
yeah, I mean, if you think about it, February, you've got obviously the Super Bowl is one of the biggest gambling days of the year, right? With people betting on
Period.
all types of things,
Period.
right? From the coin flip to how long will the national anthem take to
The
whatever.
color of the Gatorade line
Color of the Gator, the
always
color of the
sends me.
Gatorade's a great
Always
one.
sends me.
And then also, you got to think about it. March Madness coming right around the corner, and March Madness is huge for gambling, obviously. I love it, to be honest. I know that a lot of people are like kind of have a mixed emotions on it. Not from our generation, I would say more from our parents' generation, where they think it's a little bit too accessible now. But I think it's great. It definitely drives interest in the sports for sure. I think people look to it as like a thing to do. And it does create interest in the sports outside of just obviously the games themselves. And shit, why not bet on Punxsutawney Phil?
As we
Why
look
not?
back in like the history of, the digital era, especially of the 21st century, there's probably two things that we could thank Barstool for. Number one is Pizza Review, and number two is making us better gamblers, better degenerate gamblers for
Absolutely.
the average sports fan. And that's just the only good graces I'm going to give the tip of the hat to Stoolie for. Because by any means, we are not going to copy the blueprint at all, because those mofos don't even know how to be cultured swine from the nerd perspective or the arts perspective, which this show is going to be catered around, believe it or not, if you thought we were going to be talking about sports again. You can hang on for a little bit. I know we're going to talk a little bit more about betting here because I just love betting on obscure random shit sometimes.
Absolutely. I mean, why the hell not?
Spring come early up in your parts?
Spring is coming early, thank God. I mean, listen, I want everybody to have a parlay about how long my ceremony will be at my wedding.
True.
And I want in on it.
I will take one in on
I want in on it.
it.
It's my wedding. You goddamn right I want in on it. The hell?
Me tell you something. Let me tell you
Listen,
something.
man.
You snapped that photo saying that you had a venue picked and ready to lock. I did see no snow on the ground. So safe to say spring came early to your neck of the woods.
Listen, man, you can already see sun setting later, sun rising earlier. I'm here for it. Finally getting we I think up here we had about 2 weeks of straight overcast where like we barely even saw the sun, and now finally we are having like sunny days, and even like today it was in the 40s, but still with the sun it feels actually feel like a human being, man. The seasonal depression in the Northeast is legit. In the North, obviously, all over the country,
No, it's
seasonal depression is a real thing.
Jesus.
So
It's real.
yeah.
It's definitely real. Saturday was the official
You
first spring day in Florida. We got to take advantage of our great beaches before the tourists, obviously take it over. So it was a nice day to be out in the sun. Sun's out, guns out, and buns out for the ladies. So definitely a good time had by all. Needed a little R&R after the week I had last week. We don't need to talk about that too much. At the same time, it's a great thing where guys get together to talk about like gambling and all that jazz. And if we're putting lines on your ceremony, you're going to have me busy. You're going to open a fucking book for your wedding.
You're holding the book?
You are the book. I will be the book for your wedding.
Absolutely.
That's the pledge I am for your groomsman.
Yes.
Sportsbook pledge.
bookie pledge.
Blue, you're my boy!
It's too good. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I mean, you know, the sports doctored episodes, we're going to highlight, you know, a lot of the gambling odds. You know, with last year, I won Kentucky Derby picks. So when we get close to that, we're going to talk about it. March Madness, we're going to talk about, you know, I really think with the transfer portal impacting a lot better in college basketball, it's going to be like a little bit more, you know, beneficial. Our former school, FAU, made the Final Four in their first school history. So that's definitely something that, you know, we're going to be paying attention to, with bracket busting, to, you know, parlays being hit. That's just going to be the big one. You know, you mentioned Super Bowl. You know, like I said, this is all the way through Memorial Day. You're going to bet the Masters, the PGA tournament, NBA finals, Stanley Cup finals. You know, it's going to be a thing. Now that Florida's got a sports book and you are definitely heavy on the New York book, I got to get back on that one app that you introduced me to so that, you know, we're following each other's bets and all that jazz.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm happy that Florida finally allowed it. Like, I think they were a little bit behind on that for once. I mean, listen, New Jersey did it before New York did. The saddest thing was the saddest thing was me having to drive, you know, 5 minutes over the border from my house in New Jersey to go to a Dunkin' to go put my bets in. It was just ultimate degeneracy. But yeah, now obviously New York, and listen, certain books, you obviously have to figure out which books are legal in your state and which ones aren't. Like, I think in New York still, you can't use Barstool Sports. Barstool Sports, I think, is only in New Jersey still, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right? That's crazy.
Yeah, when I'm in Jersey, I bet Barstool usually. But usually when I'm not, I usually play Caesars. But yeah, man. I mean, definitely, we're gonna have a lot of sports talk coming up. A lot of, you know, obviously we're talking about the lines and things like that. But this is gonna be a show more catered to the arts and entertainment, music and movies and TV and things like that. And listen, we're excited about it. Everybody's obviously pumped for the sports. But like Esther Bro said, if you're here for a sports show, this might be the end of where you log off, because everything else is going to be non-sports related for the rest of the program. But listen, got to care to everybody, right?
We are cultured men, not swine. So
here's to you, real men of genius.
Cheers. Hey, Alexa, turn into the Espro TV podcast.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
It's the Espro TV podcast. It's your boy Maddie, hailing from the sunshine state of Tampa, Florida. It is February 5th, 2024, episode 138. It's an absolute beautiful day. Today is a gift. Make sure you unwrap it because tomorrow is not promised. So live your life. Enjoy your life. Listen to that new album. Talk about what happened over the weekend in current events, because we got a lot of them to talk about with you and your friends around the water cooler at work or at the gas station, you know, pump. I know you don't do it around your parts, but, you know, however you want to break news and, you know, break icebreakers to talk to people about shit. Ain't that right, TV? Say hello to the people, TV.
Hello there.
Hello there. Yeah, I mean, listen, I talked to my gas station attendant about it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, hey, listen, you listen to the show this week, blah, blah, blah. You know, while he's pumping my gas, but, you know, we don't hang out at gas stations.
You got the gas station attendants pumping Espro TV?
Listen, baby, New Jersey, still the only state where you don't pump your own gas, so I got to talk to somebody about it when I'm there.
You gotta get patches for their gas, you know, uniforms, so we could iron them on for them.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. Patches would probably be a next, you know, product where I gotta get 2024's stickers lined up and ready to rock. Because I got a shitload of stock from 2023 still, you know, handing around. Probably because I was slacking with sticker pass out. Just circling back to customer listening and seeing how we were improving last year. So definitely going to do some new marketing schemes, looking at, you know, what we could do for, you know, stickers. Obviously not trying to monetize this thing because we don't want to get sued, obviously, for what we do and everything in parody. This whole intro and our spiel, as we do for the show, is that everything is also in parody so that we are not chased after by our attorneys mentioned in the following episode from last week. That was too funny. Absolutely.
Correct. Well, no, legal has definitely advised us. There is no monetization, but we do appreciate you guys supporting the podcast in any way you can, whether it's getting stickers, putting stickers up, listening to us, sharing, subscribing, all that good stuff. We appreciate you. And
where can they subscribe, man? TV?
They can follow us on Instagram, actually, at @EsproTVPod. They can follow us on Twitter/X at @ATV_pod. And they can also follow us on Tumblr at esprotvpodcast.tumblr.com.
Beautiful.
Shameless plug number one of this podcast.
That's right.
More to come.
Part of me wants to get back into an Instagram profile. I keep flirting with the idea of it, especially when Mandy Itake, who is no longer going on that on socials, ironic enough, wants to get more of a social following. So I might need to step away from the Espro TV pod desk on Instagram and regenerate and resurrect a new Instagram profile, possibly flirting with the idea of it. Not sure how. I might have to. It's going to have to come back one way or another. As much as I hate it, fucking social media gratification. It's bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Except when Meta's coming out with cooler shit. Fucking Mom Dukes was flexing the Ray-Ban Meta sunglasses over the weekend at brunch. You seen those bitches?
I have. Only to be trumped by last week, Apple officially launching Apple Vision Pro, which looks insane. Hefty price tag of $3,500 for that, but I can see why people would go for it. I mean, it's really. I think I shared the video with you of the guy watching sports while having his social media running and having YouTube up on the other. I mean, it's really, really cool. But I have seen the Metaverse Ray-Bans. Those are definitely cool. They're definitely a more friendly price point than the Apple Vision Pro. But yeah, man, we are the end days. We're in the end days. There's going to be very soon where everyone's wearing Meta Ray-Bans or Apple Vision Pros all around everywhere, and we're in the metaverse 24/7.
Oh boy.
So come join us in the metaverse here at the Espo TV podcast.
Yeah,
we love you.
Probably need to start constructing that as well. Make a small little 99th Avenue studio in the metaverse.
We can do it.
Best of
why not?
Actually, why not generate Jaime's shed in the metaverse?
Jaime's shed is the 99th Ave Studios. Actually, is taking place inside the shed.
That's where the PO box is for
correct
the show. Let's get
correct
started. As much as, you know, we want to say that spring is here, Poxidani Phil be damned if that is spring by any means necessary. But, you know, still feeling a little chippy in this weather. We do need to talk about and highlight a few things. One breaking point that, you know, we never got to get around to it because in news was the how people were very upset how Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie weren't nominated at all in the Academy Awards 96th annual coming up. I was blown away to think, in fact, I'm going to live to see the 100th, knock on wood. But it's just how Ryan Gosling was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for the Barbie film. It's just like, the irony is that the message that Barbie movie does send out and how the former were not nominated is the exact message that Barbie movie was talking about. It's just cruel, cruel irony to the extent. I mean, there's other elements to highlight with the Barbie film. America Ferrera is nominated for Best Supporting Actress that a lot of her peers were heralding for her inner speech in the film that is definitely nom worthy. Greta Gerwig does have a nom for best screenplay and in for, you know, best picture. Barbie is still up there, and you know, it definitely gave the brothers Warner the life support it needed. But Margot Robbie did pour her soul as much as, you know, production into it. So she gets the noms there if it's not for director or, you know, best actress for that matter. But, you know, that's not the main ones. Because the primary factor here that I started the show with talking about gambling is that there's been some sort of mix in the universe as the Oscars have taken a somewhat of a hit. You know, 2 years ago with the infamous Greatest Night in Television moment between Chris Rock and Will Smith. And we do have a pod covering that, so you could even pull that in the archives.
I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me. Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane jump.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
I'm going to, okay?
And, you know, obviously last year there was a rise in viewership, believe it or not. But I really think gambling on the Oscars is probably, you know, one of the best ways to spend with a significant other who's definitely into the film and arts, because that's how us as men are going to probably remain engaged in viewing a lot of these films. There's heavy favoritism to Oppenheimer winning Best Picture and all things considered. But like the long list of these films, American Fiction, Anatomy of the Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of Flower Moon, Maestro, which is Bradley Cooper's directorial debut, which I think is amazing. There's Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest for all of the movies nominated for Best Picture. And, you know, depending on what gambling app you use, you will most likely see an Academy Awards portion open up closer to when the award ceremony will be carrying on March 10th, so probably close to March, when March Madness is knocking on the door. You'll see both of those portions open up side by side. But yeah, man, gambling odds for the Academy Awards is fun. Let me tell you something. This is how I got into film, because my mother dragged me to a lot of films in a young age so that she could like do her homework and have her sketchbook. And my mom knows how to call them. She sees them on a regular basis. She knows how to call them. And Mandy Atake, when we were watching the Golden Globes, she was calling a lot of the winners. So might be what I submit to by definitely playing the gambling odds for the Oscars, you know, this upcoming Oscar season. And I'm definitely going to be doing a lot of the homework by watching these films leading up to next month, which probably going to do a film or two films a week just to prep myself for that. What say you, my co-host?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely was a big watcher of these award shows when I was younger. I'd say that definitely, I mean, everybody obviously watched The Slap Heard Around the World. I mean, nobody missed that. You'd be living under a rock in order to miss that. But I get the outrage of people saying, you know, there's, you know, the
snubs.
There's snubs for Barbie. I do understand that. But at the same time, I feel like Barbie wasn't necessarily made to be a masterful cinematic production. It was more made as an entertainment piece. And there are quite a few movies. I get it. There are quite a few movies on here that I have not seen yet. Killers of the Flower Moon being one. I still have not yet to see Oppenheimer. I do definitely need to watch that. Very interesting, though, that in both the supporting categories, you have America Ferrera and Ryan Gosling both getting nominated for Best Supporting and Actor and Actress, respectively. Do find that interesting.
Yes.
For sure. But what were you saying?
I do find it odd that, you know, we don't celebrate commercial success as much as we used to. And the fact that there's just no flowers for the Super Mario film. But I get it. It's just, even when I first saw the film in theaters, it's just, it's really hard to dictate a direction with this movie. But, you know, at the end of it, where it's very predictable, it's not anywhere you would write it home for the Oscars. It was a possibility for the Golden Globes. But as much as it was a success for a video game film and not getting the necessary flowers for the Oscars, we went over this during the GOTYs thinking that, if Mario's not going to win Best Adaptation, which it lost to Last of Us, as respectively as it should, then it might just get the Golden Globe nod or the Oscar nod. Neither happened.
And right.
When Spider-Man Across the Universe debuted, Mandy Atake in my ear was like, that's going to take Mario for its money in terms of, you know, anything of the nerd meta that's getting nominated. Sure as shit, she was right. Spider-Man Across the Universe is nominated for Best Animated Feature. We're all going to sit here and say that The Boy and the Blue Heron is definitely probably going to win Best Animated Picture.
To be honest with you, I think it's a two-horse race between Across the Spider-Verse and The Boy and the Heron. Knowing the Oscars, and as many people know, certain award shows, the Oscars, the Grammys, which happened last night, which we're going to get to in a little bit, tend to favor certain artists or certain multimedia in their genre. So I could definitely see Elemental winning this because, you know, coming from that angle. But
Reasonable doubt.
If you ask me personally, I think it should be Across the Spider-Verse. The Boy and the Blue Heron was amazing. Don't get me wrong. But Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is an animated movie that even if you don't love animated movies, you could still watch and love. So I feel like it should. That would be my pick. If I had a vote, I would vote for Across the Spider-Verse, but that's just me personally. For everything.
there's a lot of people writing off Nolan's going to end up losing this to Scorsese for best director, which, you know, I find absolutely outstanding because, you know, I have yet to see Killers of the Flower Moon, and that definitely like reached for a lot of engaging shit that, you know, the Oscars definitely does have swirling topics that you do talk about, especially when it comes to controversial shit.
Right.
Which, you know, it wraps your mind around. It's just like, how did Barbie not get the same nod when it's just engaging shit about feminism versus the patriarchy? You know, we're not by any means trying to get this to be an engaging political show. It's just, it gets, that's the best part about films that get these nods. It gets you engaged about researching and talking about a lot of these topics.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk about.
Yeah, with that
zone of interest being up there, especially, you know, that's about post World War II people who were part of the Nazi Party and are living outside of Auschwitz. Like, that's fucking heavy. Like, really fucking heavy. Shit hasn't been, you know, that. I want to say Boy in the Striped Pajamas was the last, like, you know, film in that relative category that, like, you know, people were engaged with. I mean, the bar was clearly fucking set with Schindler's List, like, while we were kids, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to, and Saving Private Ryan, you know what I mean? Besides all of that, it's just, there's a great deal of these films that, you know, you got to, I mean, Oppenheimer is another World War II film. So it's definitely something that gets a lot of people fucking talking about. Holdovers is a comedy drama that is listed on here that's also going to get like a lot of people, you know, talking. Paul Giamatti nominated for, you know, best actor, and you know that dude's fucking in his goddamn prime right now.
Absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, and I think there's several of them up here that you could clearly see that are maybe not the most that are controversial movies. I mean, I know that Poor Things was also very, very well received. And Emma Stone, I think, has come into definitely her sort of prime as an actress for sure. Without a doubt, Zone of Interest also being up there for both best adapted screenplay, I think, is great. And again, to be honest, I feel almost bad talking about this because there are so many of these movies on here that I have wanted to see that I just have not gotten a chance to with everything going on in my own personal life. Sure. But I am definitely going to check out a lot of these. I actually wanted to see, let me see, like, just as an example, to not see any of the music from Across the Spider-Verse be up here is kind of wild to me. And again, I didn't see American Fiction, I didn't see Oppenheimer or Killers of the Flower Moon yet, and I'm sure the music in them is fantastic, right? But I mean,
Are you going by song or score?
Well, for both. There's not one for best original song or best score. Barbie, actually, two nominations for best original song, which I think is great, obviously.
Like Miyazaki for Boy and the Blue Heron, this being his swan song, there's a lot of people putting behind that. John Williams for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, like, this was his swan song.
Yeah,
for, you know, his score. I have an opposing take to you, where Across the Spider-Verse's music was not as good as the first film.
I agree with that. I do actually agree with that, but I still think it was very, very good, well done. For sure. But I do agree that I believe the first film's music was better. 100%. Definitely do agree with that for sure. I think it's going to be interesting. I definitely think once, you know, I do like the Oscars. I always have, you know, because the Oscars is also, like you said, it's one of those shows where you watch the Oscars or you see a picture that wins it. And a lot of people that maybe didn't go and see it in theaters for whatever reason be like, I really should watch that movie. I feel like it's good in that way that it does, I think, better than some other awards, kind of give people a really broad aspect of what the movie scene is at that moment and lets them know which films got the most critical acclaim and which ones have clearly been, you know, the standout movies of said year. I gotta see Killers of the Flower Moon. I still haven't seen it yet. Scorsese is my favorite director of all time. Have you seen it or no?
No, it's number one on the list. Two big ones here. Number one, if we want to talk about snubs, obviously, like if Napoleon was too soon or too little too late,
I think that might be the case.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix not getting any, you know, flowers for his acting direction was also probably, like, I thought that had Oscar written all over it.
Yeah.
But, you know, people had other things to say, I guess. The big highlight for this, for best visual effects, it's the first time that anything in Godzilla got nominated for best visual effects. And I hope to God that that gets, you know, that takes it, because I would love nothing more than Godzilla representation at the Oscars, because that's just fucking phenomenal.
I agree 100%. 100%. But I did notice that there are very few nominations for the Napoleon movie. I know I did thought it was very, very well received. I haven't seen it yet either, so again, I can't speak on it, but I do think that I was very surprised by that. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix, again, one of the best actors of his generation, just an absolute powerhouse. Oppenheimer, obviously, winning it with the most nominations with 13. Poor Things and Killers of the Flower Moon following quickly behind with 11 and 10. Again, you could say that Barbie got snubbed in certain things, but 8 nominations is nothing to shake a stick at. I mean, that is very solid, very, very solid. You know what I mean? Absolutely. So, I think that's really cool that a movie that maybe people didn't see as a quote-unquote Oscar type of film went out there and actually did get 8 nominations for it. So I think that's pretty freaking cool.
The wild card presence in this is that, you know, the past two Academy Awards, best pictures went to foreign films.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where there's a lot of people pulling themselves up from the bootstraps saying, well, shit, Hollywood's got to fucking double down. And, you know, we talked about SAG-AFTRA last year.
Right.
And how there was just a lot of ripple effect. It's just like how the American product has been getting a little stale, you know? So the foreign film presence is definitely there. It's heavy in the noms. So we shall see how it will shake down next month. And that is all we can talk about that. Except, because we do talk about films in these parts, and I know this is going to be a hard pill to swallow on your end, because it just makes me scratch my head a lot too. But January was ruled in the box office by the Mean Girls remake all of, you know, the beginning of 2024. I know you talked about it a little bit, you know, last month, especially when Hello Nurse went to go see it.
Hello Nurse!
She said how it was, you know, not even close to what the original piece was for Mean Girls. So, I mean, you know, I'm going to let you roll for a little, because there's a few things that we can't necessarily groan about, but we have to give this film some flowers a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, I think if you put out a Mean Girls sequel, it's going to do well in the box office, right? It's a cult classic. It is, you know, I think sequel? A lot of...
Like if they did like a high school reunion one, yeah, that would have been great.
I guess this really isn't a sequel. But at the same token, it is a continuation. Not a continuation. It's a full remake. But... I don't know. I understand why they went the musical route. I feel like a lot of studios see that as an avenue to kind of get to a different sort of population with people that you want to, like, you know, a different audience you want to try to gravitate to. But I'm not going to see this. I'm not. I want a full 30-year high school reunion of Mean Girls, 20-year high school reunion, whatever it is. I need that. That is the film.
It's what's funny because it's the 20th anniversary of the original piece, right? Like 20 years separates the original film and this film as of this year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Musical went live not too long ago. And that's what probably insinuated the idea where it's just like, yeah, we got to make this the film version of this to make it, you know, just as, I guess, reaching for the new audiences that they are pulling for. And we mentioned this on the episode that you first talked about it. This Mean Girls was made for like the current generation.
Yeah, totally.
At least watch.
And I get that. And again, like what you said with the being a full remake, right? A full remake, right? Not to cut you off, but like it's a remake. You're remaking this for a different audience, for not, you know, for the generation that is now, not in 2024, not in 2004, the generation that originally watched the first movie, right? Still want a sequel. I don't give a shit. I still want a sequel.
No, and as you should, there should be, like, I know you had Tim Meadows reprise his role as the principal. You had Tina Fey reprise her role as the math teacher, you know, and then there's a cameo appearance of Lindsay Lohan's character as one of the judges for like the mathletes portion of the film. But, you know, you have John Hamm as the original coach from the movie.
So funny.
And then you have him submit to his will where he actually like marries one of the students that was also controversial, like for the first take. So, I mean, eventually I'll get around to it. I can't say when. You know, the big portion where this does deserve its flowers is Renee Rapp is Regina George, and she's got the hottest track that's being featured in this film, featuring Megan Thee Stallion. I mean, the music video is definitely catered towards the presence of Mean Girls. It captures that essence. And definitely need to bleed this over to, like, you know, the next part where Renee Rapp is on the lineup for Bonnaroo. My good friend.
I am aware. And it's so funny. I did not know who Renee Rapp was up until about probably 6 months ago. Hello Nurse's best friend is...
Crazy Over?
Crazy Over. I was trying to figure out what is the equivalent of a Swiftie for a Renee Rapp fan. Because she's also a Swiftie as well. But that being said, you know, great, right? Crazy about Renee Rapp and her music. You know, I did not realize that she was playing a starring role in this movie. I did not realize that, but that is actually very cool. Very, very cool.
She was the lead for the Broadway feature.
Right.
So it only makes sense where when you make, you know, the actual film version that you keep a lot of the same, you know, actors and actresses for it. But yeah, she is going to be part of the Saturday lineup with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know, we didn't get to talk about the lineup reveal of Bonnaroo because it was literally the day of recording where it did happen. But Pretty Lights headlining, they're going to have two sets, which is going to be fucking exciting. You got Fisher, which I will tell you is an absolute banging party. Your boy Post Malone, the classic band in the Hall of Fame, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And recently Grammy Award winning Fred Again is closing out the festival with a lot of good fucking acts on this lineup altogether. And I know my main man here is upset that he's not going to be booty shaken to two friends on the farm with me. I see the frustration in your face.
I want to go to Big Booty Land. All I want to do, and I can't do it this year. I'm trying to think. Do you have the dates are out, right? Is it the same dates every year?
It's Father's Day weekend every year. June 13th to June 16th every year. The lineup is definitely in the huge variety. You know, 100%. You got less EDM than
for sure.
you have compared to last year.
I find that interesting, the comparisons. Yeah, I find that very interesting, the comparisons of the two lineups, how this year is a lot lighter on the EDM side of things. It does make me feel better that, you know, I have a decent reason for not being on the farm this year because I will actually be in another country. But that being said, the lineup is, I was actually talking to my boss about this, as I told you before. My boss has been known to frequent a few festivals in his day. And he's like,
radiates positivity, baby.
I love that. One of the reasons why I like working for him. But you know, I told him, I said, "You see the Rue drop?" He said, "No." I showed it to him, sent it over, and he's like, "That's a killer lineup." I'm like, "I know, I want to go so badly." But you know,
we won, bro.
Yeah,
we won, and I'm going to tell you this much, because you know, everybody's going to be able to look at this lineup in the comments, and when this dropped right before Coachella, this was the bigger headline to highlight here in Music Festival News. Bonnaroo has no problem selling tickets right now, but compared to Coachella's lineup and Coachella struggling to selling tickets right now, that is a massive problem, my dude. I mean, like, you could look at the two lineups side by side. You know, I don't have their poster in the notes for the right reasons, because we submit to the will of, you know, the eastern side of the Mississippi rather going out west. But, you know, there's a lot of people who even drag Coachella for not even being anywhere near what it used to be like a decade ago. And, you know, he must not be named. He actually did an act for a group out there and like compared the 2 weeks where Coachella was, it looks like it is struggling. So like, where if the price be damned for how much they're asking for people to like submit to the will of this. But you know, I would have never thought in the state of California, where a shitload of music festivals reign supreme, mind you, are having problems selling tickets. The last thing I will have in this bit, that this goes to the bottom line of why EDM mixes aren't big in here. DJs are asking for a shitload of money these days just to be in festies. And like, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And if that's what's gouging the price and, you know, preventing a lot of people for participating in festivals like these, you're really showing your cards where it's more about the money and not about like the spirit of enjoying a festival with friends, families, loved ones, and, you know, enjoying the music and the art for what it's worth.
I would agree with that. I mean, and if you look at it like, yes, I mean, Coachella is, what is it, the 13th or the 14th and then the 19th or the 21st of April, right? So, like, essentially a two-part festival, you know, two weekends back to back. But
the same acts, mind you.
Right, so you're not really getting two different festivals, which you can appreciate the availability that they're kind of making, so that way people don't have. But that's sort of the thing with the festival, right? Is you go there on that weekend to go and see those acts. Like, I guess it kind of makes sense to have the availability where people have wanted couldn't go the weekend of the 13th and the 14th. You know, be able to go again the following week. But still, I feel like, you know, I've had multiple firsthand accounts of people who tell me they go to Coachella and they would rather go to a different festival, like Electric Forest, like Bonnaroo. You know, I think you can go
down the list.
I know, and I completely get it, but I don't know. I think, and I might be a little bit biased here, being the first music festival that I ever slept over for, I think the vibe at Bonnaroo was very much chill. And like, yes, there were a lot of EDM acts at Bonnaroo last year when we went, but that being said, if it's less EDM music, it's just gonna be more chill, in my opinion. And the lineup for Bonnaroo this year, I'm sorry, it's absolutely fire. From a pure music perspective, it's fire.
Shout out to D-Truth the professional, and his band actually going to be a closing act for the local music festival, Gasparilla Music Fest, that's, you know, shaken down later in this month. I believe that's in about 2 weeks. And that has variety as well. That's actually grown to have variety. It's, you know, getting better each year. It's small for what it's worth, but, you know, a festival of that magnitude, it's not meant to be anywhere near like a camp festival, because you gotta put it remote. Like, a camp fest is definitely remote. When you put it in a city, yeah, those are, you know, heavier fucking things to juggle. You look at Ultra, you look at EDC, you look at Lollapalooza. I could go on and on about like festivals of that magnitude. But like, when you do make a camp, you do have to make it remote, and you do have to make it like, you know, out in the sticks where you make an epic journey to get to it. While we're on the beat of music, we definitely need to talk about the aftermath of the 66th Grammy Awards that took place last night with some crazy, crazy fucking endings. Gonna open this up by first putting the younglings in fucking check here, where a lot of people were groaning on who the hell Killer Mike is. And it's just like, if you need to put respect in hip hop's game at all, period, you need to know who Killer Mike is, who fucking swept his Grammy nomination for winning 3 Grammys last night. But real fucking crazy shit is that after the ceremonies, our main man was fucking being arrested and detained leaving LA last night. That's just fucking crazy. That is wild. You see any of this shit?
I did. I saw it. I saw the headlines on Twitter this morning. I mean, yeah, if y'all don't know who Killer Mike is, I got nothing for you. You gotta, you know, you need
to turn this show off and go listen to Run the Jewels.
Like, don't tell me you listen to hip hop and say you don't know who Killer Mike is. That's wild to me, absolutely wild. But you know, I haven't seen any update on the arrest post Grammys, but I do want to see what the hell happened with that. You know, I saw some misinformation saying that he got in a physical altercation, which doesn't seem to be the case whatsoever. So I'm just trying to figure out really why.
People have been fucking, you know, putting that in.
Of course, of course.
That's not true.
Yeah, man. I mean, big shout out to Killer Mike for winning Best Rap Performance, Best Rap Album as well. What was the third one he won?
He won Best Performance. He won Rap Song of the Year.
Oh, yeah. Best Rap Song. Yeah. Scientists and Engineers. Yep.
Yep. But both of those back to back. Scientists and Engineers. Best Rap Performance. Best Rap Song. And then he actually did get Best Rap Album with Michael, which, you know, definitely, you know, fucking wild. And KDOT has even put this in lyrical, you know, motion so that people could be put in check about this. If this wasn't a problem, if, you know, politics wasn't a problem, you know, I don't know the lyric verbatim, but people know this like lyric for lyric, where it's just like Killer Mike would have been, you know, more than platinum if, you know, this wasn't a big deal. I mean, you could talk about everything. We're in February. It's Black History Month. There's one thing that, you know, our brothers and sisters absolutely despise, and it's the misrepresentation that they get during the Grammys, and how like there's major snubs. There's a shitload of those stories from that camp dating even further back before R&B, rap, and hip hop. Like, it's deeply ingrained, and it is bullshit, because, you know, people want to put like, oh, streams, oh, commercialism. It's like, no, there's a reason why a lot of people get the noms and the wins. And like, that's just where they put, you know, we got to give our flowers to Killer Mike. Obviously well-deserved.
100%.
Huge, huge reparation there. Big shout out to Skrillex for taking home Best Electronic Performance with Rumble, as he made his, you know, giant comeback last year. we mentioned Fred again, being shared on that love with Flodan. I know you love Flodan. You mm-hmm. definitely fucking love Flodan. I can't wait to see Fred again at Bonnaroo this year. It's just gonna be fucking amazing. fucking I Am Rave Dad definitely said, like, it would be great if, you know, Bonnaroo actually generates a 360 stage and Bonnaroo, you know, drops an advertisement of, like, you know, congrats to Fred again, who's headlining, and they're basically floating the idea that they will probably put a 360 house stage, like a Boiler Room set, which would just make it fucking epic as all hell for Bonnaroo. Like, just epic ass shit. And major shout out to Miley Cyrus. There's a lot of people that were actually saying that this was her first Grammy win ever. I don't know if that holds water, like, at all by any means. Like, that's just fucking nuts. You know, Jaime, check that shit. But, you know, big shout for Miley Cyrus for using the revenge of her ex-husband to, you know, win Song of the Year. Especially, you know, over Taylor Swift's Midnights, which was, you know, I mean, we could give flowers to Taylor Swift as much as possible. Hell, you know, I'm sorry. Midnights did win Album of the Year. So, I mean, I don't know if that's a precursor to, you know, influence the Chiefs bringing home title where this Sunday. Even more to transcend it for a little bit of the Super Bowl. Tiesto is going to be the first EDM artist to perform at the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, shit, it's in Las Vegas. You're pulling for a lot of EDM acts. You know, the one thing that I Am Raved At also argued, and you could attest to this, Odessa's Last Goodbye was definitely Super Bowl halftime worthy.
Oh, like, 100%. 100%. Odessa's closing set at Bonnaroo was absolutely Super Bowl worthy. And on a stage like that, it would only make it better. By the way, Miley Cyrus' first Grammy win for Flowers for
That's wild.
Record of the Year and Best Pop Solo Performance.
That's wild.
Yeah, not the first time she's been nominated, but her first wins for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, look, yeah. Flowers is a huge record. Absolutely humongous record.
Mm-hmm. And we're giving her flowers now. Definitely.
I mean, she got her flowers without a doubt, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think it is going to be interesting seeing I think we could get more of, you know, EDM at for Super Bowl for sure. I guarantee you, like I think me and many other football script believers and tinfoil hat when it comes to the NFL being rigged, people would agree that if the Chiefs are playing the Super Bowl, you're probably going to get some sort of Taylor Swift thing at halftime.
I don't know, man.
If there's a line on that, we were talking about gambling earlier. If there's a line on that, yeah. I'm taking the over.
You said that last week, too.
I'm taking it.
You definitely said that last week. We're still combating the people who, you know, are as conservative, who won't watch the Super Bowl halftime show ever since they did a hip hop influence with Dr. Dre 2 years ago, last year with Rihanna, this year with Usher. And, you know, I bet we'll have the same camp saying, well, I won't be watching. It's like, fine. Of course you
don't watch. Don't watch. No one cares. No one cares that you're not watching. Mm-hmm. The Dr. Dre halftime show was fantastic. And I'm sure Rihanna and Usher are going to crush this time around. Featuring Kevin.
Rihanna did it last year.
Oh, Rihanna did it last year. Usher is doing it this year. That's right. Rihanna did it last year. Yes. Yeah. Usher doing it this year. Rihanna also crushed last year.
You made me think for a second. Like, Rihanna and Usher have songs?
No. Usher is doing it this year. Featuring Taylor Swift, of course. but yeah, Tiesto, that's cool. I like that. I do like that.
Yeah, bro.
Odessa could do Super Bowl halftime easy. There's a couple, like, the big level acts.
Yes.
Could do that and could really put on a show.
It's really, really big. So the last bit that we're going to wrap the show with is definitely talking about a little bit of comedy here. It's a hybrid of a Karen moment, hybrid of, like, oh no, baby, what is you doing? you know, the two biggest arrests from Sunday night that hit social media, Killer Mike is one of them from the Grammys. The second one that has just as much, like, attention is how Lisa Ann, porn queen, was arrested and detained at Radio City Music Hall, New York City, during Matt Rife's stand-up special. And I'm just blown away, not by the fact that this happened, not the fact that she's one of America's sweethearts in the porn industry, but like that this video has been retweeted, reposted, and so many people saying like justice for Lisa Ann. Her whole like mini meltdown here is just like beyond like the audacity of how a like, you know, celebrity reacts by any means. Not saying she's a celebrity. She's impersonated many. but like this viral video of her arrest just echoed in the same amount of just Karen's gone wild antics, like how we put a little attention about Mariah Mills having a meltdown over Zion Williamson before the start of the basketball season last year. You know how we like had a little bit of, you know, back and forth with that, because that was just, listen, porn stars that act out of pocket and like, you know, those fashions are just absolutely wild. And I'm not saying that Lisa Ann needs the following. She definitely has a shitload of followers. You know, she's got her own betting sports book that she definitely comments on. Her sports knowledge is phenomenal for what it's worth, but it's just that reaction of her saying like not being on her phone. It's almost like she was getting the Lauren Bobbitt treatment on what happened to her during Beetlejuice.
I mean, yeah, basically. I mean, like, obviously, like, if you, you know, read the article by TMZ, she, I, you know, was eventually just told to leave and wasn't arrested. You were given a citation or anything like that. But it's still, the moment is hilarious. It is literally like, what planet are we living on right now? What is social media? That is when you like, I looked at that this morning when you sent it to me, literally read the comment section of that and said, okay, it is 9 o'clock in the morning and that is enough social media for the day. Goodbye. Because I'm like, what is this? Just,
what's happening?
The people on Twitter, the people on Twitter that are turning it into like and editing it as the Karen's Gone Wild montage is fucking hilarious. It's so funny. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yes.
But it's just a weird scenario. I wanted to see if Matt Rife had anything to say about it. But I don't know if he did or not.
Fuck that guy. That was 2023's flavor of, you know, the year when it comes to comedians. You know, that's why we're on the Shane Gillis train. You've seen this shit that went absolutely viral. It's going to get people to actually watch SNL. You know, Shane Gillis is hosting SNL on February 24th. That is going to fucking stir a shitload of controversy.
I cannot remember the last time I watched SNL. You bet your sweet ass I will be watching that episode for sure.
Yeah.
That shocks me, actually. I didn't. You just shocked me because I have not heard about this until just now when you mentioned it, yes, and that is actually wild.
Bo and Yang will be nowhere to be found that episode. I will bet money on that.
Probably not. Probably he's not.
Definitely not going to be seen. And you know that fucking the fact that Shane Gillis is actually going to get the reconciliation and probably like the flowers that he deserves of not being picked for SNL is just, that's just going to be, it's sort of like how Jim Carrey was on SNL during the like late 90s and how he was in Living Color and like, you know, the same shit where he tells Lauren, it's like, yeah, how'd that work out for you?
can you imagine like the satisfaction he must have like knowing that he's going to host SNL?
Absolutely. Like,
that is great. I think that's
the controversy in that episode is going to be even fucking better. It's just going to be absolutely phenomenal. Take us home, TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching.
Watching. I am watching you. You are watching me.
We're only the only people watching. I feel like we record it sometimes with the video and I feel like people can actually see us, but they can't. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Espro TV podcast number 138. As earlier we said it, we would really appreciate the best way to support the podcast, and if you like what we do, is follow us on social media, ETV Pod Why have I been fucking this up lately? Give me 2 seconds.
Because you're staring at that big booty lady on that couch over there. I'm not
staring at anything. My eyes are locked in.
Look at me. Look at these eyes.
Up here, bud.
Look at me.
Up here, bud.
Up here. Up here, not on that casting couch that you fucking installed over there.
Shut up.
Lisa Ann, definitely going to be coaching on this matter because she's going to have to make bail money. And TV's got fucking casting couch over there.
I don't know what you're talking about. Follow us on Instagram, Espro TV Pod. Twitter is ETV underscore pod. Tumblr is Espro TV Pod.
Hashtag TV's casting couch.
Not hashtag that under any circumstances. See y'all next week. Later.
TV's pick for the Super Bowl is
49ers by 3.
Hey!
Taking the favorites.
We're not crowning Taylor Swift on these parts. We're definitely going to take the Bro Montana's 49ers. We'll see y'all next week.